Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Sunday morning prayer. I know I'm going back and saying something Amy's already said, but if you missed Sunday morning prayer this morning, you missed a lot. I could not get my first word of prayer out of my mouth before tears started forming in my eyes because of the presence of God that was in this room. We are sowing seed in the atmosphere for what God is going to do. And you just better get ready. So turn to somebody next to you and say, get ready. I'm going to pull an old T.D. Jakes. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Listen, if you would, do me a favor and turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And before I read the scripture, I'm just going to share a few things with you. First, we are in week 2 of our new series called Expressions of Worship. Expressions of worship, how we express ourselves in worship. We spent about 25, 30 minutes praising God in song and lifting Him up the way that we talked about last week, about a song in a cell where we sing in the dark times and we sing when we feel like we are shackled and it's all we can do. We still sing because there's worship on the inside of us and our circumstance does not dictate our worship. And we're supposed to do it more than just on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night. We're supposed to do it on a regular basis because we're supposed to have a lifestyle of worship. That was last week. Here, the word worship conjures images and sounds automatically in our heads. For the younger generation, now I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever been in this type of worship service, but for me, when I was a youth, it conjured the vision of lights and fog machines and loud music and guitar solos, arenas filled with people shouting and clapping and worshiping and jumping up and down and lifting their hands. And even maybe Timmy and Johnny from the youth group are over here and they're arm in arm with their arm around each other, next to each other, worshiping with one arm raised and one arm around each shoulder. I've seen it, and they're trying to sway to the music, but they got no rhythm, so they keep bumping hips and they just about knocking each other over. All that kind of stuff. It makes me think about those kind of things. It makes me think of Susie, who's over there kneeling down as God wraps His arms around her. Nobody else knows the struggle that she's been through, and nobody else knows the situation she's been through, the abuse or the hurt that she's had to deal with in her life. But God wraps His arms around her and His presence so tight around her, you can feel His spiritual arms squeeze every tear out of her body as her makeup turns her face into a raccoon's face because of the mascara. Looks like she's supposed to go out and be a ghoul for Halloween. That's the younger generation. The older generation, see, I got one foot in each camp, at least in my opinion I do. Okay, if you disagree, don't tell me. But I got one foot in each side of the camp. Maybe for our more, I don't want to say older, I'll say more experienced generation. I had a district official one time that wanted me to pray over the meeting that we were at. And I was the one that had been in the ministry the longest at the point with everybody that was in there. And he said, well, Aaron, you're the most experienced here. And I looked at him and said, is that a nice way of calling me old? And he went, yeah. But for the more experienced generation, maybe the word worship conjures visions of a shotgun building, a church building, where you walk in the back and it's automatically, you got this little bitty foyer and you go straight into the sanctuary. You got a couple of doors on either side. You got that shotgun building with no air conditioning, naked light bulbs swinging in the air, windows that don't open. You got Sister Bethel down there with a fan, fanning as hard as she can, trying to stay cool, but at the same time screaming and shouting, glory, glory, hallelujah. You got Sister Ethel over there on the piano or the organ playing along. Maybe you got Sister Smith banging on the upright piano in the corner. Brother Henry, he's trying to clap on the appropriate beat. While he's trying to clap on the appropriate beats, but he's like, he can't find the beat to save his life with both hands. And then you got Sister Hazel, who the Holy Ghost begins to hit, and all of a sudden she's doing the Holy Ghost huckabuck up there. She's going down, and she's shaking that PhD. She's shaking that PhD as hard as she can. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about with that, that's what they call the Pentecostal hairdo. It's got that wrap around, goes all the way up. She's shaking it so hard that those bobby pins are going out and hitting people. Just bap, bap, bap. You hear them hitting the windows. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I did. I make fun, but this is what I meant when I said last week that Paul and Silas were having their own Holy Ghost hootenanny. That kind of meeting. I make fun, but you know what? I love those services. I remember falling asleep under the pew with those services. I remember participating in those services. I remember God getting a hold of me so tightly during one of those services that I didn't wait for the altar call. I didn't wait for anything. I went down to the altar and I was praying, kneeling on an altar just like this, crying out to God for everything that I had done in my life, everything my generation had done. The pastor's up there trying to preach, and I'm down here repenting for an entire generation. I remember those days. I remember how God got a hold of me. See, last week was all about singing a song in a cell. Even though you might be in the darkest recesses of your life, let your lifestyle of worship be a light to guide you back. And when words fail us, music is the language of the soul. There are songs that I listen to on a regular basis that will just grab a hold of me, and I got to repeat. And Amy's like, are we listening to that stinking song again? Yes, be quiet. God is speaking. Me and God's having a come to Jesus meeting. But it gives guidance to our worship and direction to our hearts. Song services are incredible, but they're not the only expression of worship at our disposal. See, I love worship. I love music. But that's not where worship ends. There's more to it. There's more to it. See, today is about the scent of worship. Now, some of y'all sitting there going, listen, I've been around some of them teenagers. I'm not sure if that's a sin of worship or, no, I'm kidding. I'm joking, guys. I love you. Listen, I stay in a room with them at camp. I understand what you're talking about. But I'm not talking about that cheap cologne that you might throw on to cover your natural sin. I'm not talking about if the worship team or the worship set stinks or not, or if they get all the words right, or if they hit the right notes. I'm not even talking about the songs that we sing or the notes that we play, but the life we lead and the actions we live out on a daily basis. How does your life, your worship, smell to your God? What is your scent of worship? Now, some of y'all are going, I was having fun up until now. Now it's starting to get a little weird. Listen, stay with me. There is a spiritual scent to your actions that rises to your Father in heaven. Philippians 4:18 says, At the moment I have all I need and more, I am generously supplied. This is Paul speaking to Philippians. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet that is acceptable and pleasing to God. What we give has a spiritual smell to it, has a spiritual fragrance, has a spiritual scent. Psalm 141:1 says, accept my prayer as incense offered to you and my upraised hands as an evening sacrifice. Today is about the story of a young woman named Mary who created a physical fragrance with her spiritual worship. She created a physical fragrance with her worship in the natural, but also lifted a spiritual scent to her Father in heaven with her actions. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says this. 6 days, everybody say 6 days. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus. Y'all may know him as the guy that used to be dead. The man he raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. In other words, it was pure nard, pure perfume. And she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. Sounds so gross. But there's significance there. And it says the house was filled with the fragrance. Let's pray. Father God, let my words be few, your words be powerful, and let the scent of our worship fill the atmosphere and be found pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. See, I want to explain Mary's desire for worship just for a moment. Her desire to worship. See, to understand the depth of this story, you have to go back to the beginning. You have to go back to the beginning of this entire story. She had been following Jesus for a while, and she had reasons to worship him. See, this Mary is the same Mary spoken of in Luke chapter 10, where it says that she sat at Jesus' feet. Y'all remember that whole story about Mary and Martha when they're working? You got Martha over here. She's over here making sure the potatoes are cooked, got the fish broiled. She's got all the tea made, the sweet tea made, and sitting it right over here. She's making sure the banana pudding is sweet as it can be, because you know that if it's God's dinner, you got to have banana pudding there. Okay, you got to. But you got all this stuff, and she's working, she's cleaning, she's making sure everybody's got everything. And her sister, her younger sister, is over there sitting in front of Jesus, sitting at his feet. In Luke 10, it says that she was sitting at his feet, and Martha looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, tell my lazy, good-for-nothing. No, she didn't say all that, but I'm sure she was thinking it. She said, tell my sister, get up and start helping. I've got work to do. And Jesus looked at her and said, listen, Mary has chosen the greater thing, to be at my feet. It's the same Mary that we were talking about right there. It's the same Mary from John chapter 11, just one chapter earlier, where Lazarus has died and Jesus comes. And it says that Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. Jesus has come and he's already been dead 4 days. And he comes up, and Mary in chapter 11 comes running up to Jesus when she realizes he is there. Martha met him. And then sent back to word to Mary, the master is looking for you. So she ran to Jesus and fell at his feet and said, if you had only been here, if you had just been here, Jesus, then my brother would be alive. But then that same Jesus said, where is he at? And went and raised him and said, it doesn't matter whether I'm here or not. I can do whatever I want because I am the life. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am the resurrection and the life. He walked in and he raised Lazarus from the dead, gave him back to his sisters, and they were all excited and happy. They threw a party over in chapter 12. They were eating at this dead man's house only 6 days before Passover. Jesus is entering the last days of his life. You got to think about it. He is moving on his way back to Jerusalem. He is in the last week of his life, and he takes time out to sit at a table with his friends and sit at the table with this miracle man. And Jesus is entering those last days, and he stops at this house. I don't know about you, but I'd be celebrating too. I'd be celebrating what was about to happen. I'd be celebrating. See, Mary wanted to worship because she had seen Jesus do so much. She had heard him speak. She had heard him teach. She had drunk in everything that she could. He had given her back her brother, and she had seen miracle upon miracle upon miracle. But Mary had insight that no one else had. Something prompted her in the middle of this dinner, in the middle of this meal, something prompted her to worship in a way that no one else was willing to do. Not in song, not in music, not in the traditional way of worship, but in a way that only she could worship. Can I tell you something? God doesn't care how everybody else in the room worships him. He only cares about how you worship him. He doesn't compare your worship to their worship or their worship to your worship. He's looking at you saying, what have you got for me? What is inside of you that you want to pour out? What do you have to offer me? It's not comparing one or the other. Everyone else was sitting around celebrating the raising of the dead and celebrating Jesus, hearing the stories and laughing and cutting up. And something prompted her to worship in a way that only she could. And the lingering scent that would last longer than any note or any song that would be played at this dinner. See, God is looking for more than a song service from his people. He's looking for more than just a good hook and a good line in a song. He's looking for more than a good chord progression or a good riff on a guitar. He's looking for more than just something that is temporary. He's looking for something more. He's looking for an act of service. He's looking for an act of service, an act of worship that would come out of us. He's looking for more than a song service, but an act of service, an act of worship. One that would silence the spiritual room. One that would last beyond the moment, but that could be carried with us. And one that brings the scent of worship to our master's senses every time he moves. Well, how do we do that, Pastor Aaron? I am so good. Y'all are so smart. Y'all ask the best questions. How do we do that, Pastor Aaron? One way that we do that is the same way that Mary did. We give him our best. Somebody say, give him your best. Turn to somebody next to you and say, give him your best. Turn to your second choice and say, you better give him better. You give him your best. That's how you start off giving that kind of worship, that scent of worship. Have you ever smelled really cheap perfume and colognes? Really cheap perfume and colognes. Listen, when I was 10 or 11 years old, maybe even 8 or 9, I don't know why, but my mom, I love you, Mom, I know you're watching this. My mom had a habit at Christmas. Do y'all remember going into JCPenney or someplace like that? I don't know where it was she got these things, but they were these little collection of colognes for men. And I'm not talking about nice stuff. Mom, I don't want you to think I'm ungrateful. But I'm talking about the little bottles. They were white, had a little red cap on the top of it usually. The one that comes to my mind is always English leather. Who wants to smell like English leather? But she would buy this collection. It was about four of them in the thing. And me being an 8 or 9 year old, oh, cool, I got cologne. I'm a grown boy. And I'd be putting that stuff on, and I'm not talking about I'd dip it on my finger. I'm sitting there taking a bath in the stuff and just pouring it out. It's gone by the time New Year's hits. But she would buy that stuff, and I would walk in. It's the kind of cologne that you actually see move into a room before you smell it. Y'all laugh. It's true. I mean, you're going to be standing on the landing at the top of the steps, and all of a sudden you see this fog and these waves, sort of like a hot sidewalk on the summer, where it's just rising up, and it moves down the steps. I laugh because it's true. But she would buy those every single year, and I would put those things on, and I'd walk by, and people would go, ugh! Cheap knockoffs that no teenager really, really needed or wanted. I remember my papa's cologne. I'm getting off on my subjects now. My papa's cologne. Do y'all remember? Okay, I'm telling on my age here. My papa. I love my papa. He was my fishing buddy. There was a bird. A container with a bird. It looked, I don't know what kind of bird it was, but it had a shiny green head that you could pull off and get cologne out of it. And they sold it by like the gallon. So you know it was top notch. I remember that stuff, and I had that for years. My dad gave it to me when my papa died. And I absolutely loved it. For those that are young, what I'm talking about today is the equivalent of Axe body spray. Okay. And y'all are sitting there going, man, that's some good stuff. No, it ain't. Trust me, it's not. Anything that peels paint off the wall is not good to put on your body. But it's less of a cologne and more of a BO cover scent. You know what I mean? But when I finally received cologne, and oddly enough, my wife was the first one to buy me real cologne. She bought me Tommy Hilfiger cologne. I barely wore it most of the time, and she's mad about that today. But it was actually pleasant. It was something I really enjoyed. See, Mary gave her best when she walked into that room that night. It wasn't something cheap and a cheap knockoff of worship. It was what she had, and it was everything that she had. It was what she had to offer him. She could have gone and gotten something a little less expensive. See, when she walked into the room with this bottle, everybody knew what it was because it was customary for a woman to have this as almost like a dowry kind of thing, if I remember right. In John chapter 12, verse 3, it says, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She presented this bottle in this moment knowing what it was going to cost her. The history tells us that the actual cost of the bottle, they say it was a pound, basically a pound of perfume, and the cost of it was a year's wages. Can you imagine taking a year's worth of your wages and putting it into a cologne that you would then pour out in its entirety? Whether you make $20,000 a year, $15,000 a year, $80,000 a year, it doesn't really matter. But the thing is, think of the cost of that and what people would look at you and say, that's a waste. It's a waste. Some people are going to look at the worship that you give God when you give him all that you are and say, you're wasting your time. He's not listening to you. He's not paying attention to you. He's not really there. He's not real. And they're going to say, you're wasting your time. But are you going to let their opinion of your worship dictate what he deserves? Are you with me? She could have gone out and gotten cheaper perfumes. She could have gone out and gotten the English leather version of all that or the Axe body spray of the day and anointed him with all of that. But she didn't. She went and got something personal to her. She got something that would cost her something. She presented this bottle knowing it was going to cost her. You see, when we give God, we give worship to God, we need to understand that it's going to cost us. That moment when you don't feel like worshiping, that's part of the cost. That moment when you don't feel like praising God, that's part of the cost. He had already prepared her heart for what was about to happen. Judas later in verse 5 complains that and brings out the fact that it costs a year's wages. When you are traded life, see, think about her. She was traded life for death. She was traded freedom for bondage. She was traded peace for chaos. When you are traded life for death, freedom for bondage, and peace for chaos, the cost becomes of no consequence to you. Jesus had restored Mary's brother to her. He had restored She had received a love she could not explain. Let me tell you something, church. I received more from God than you will ever know. I have received more from Him than I can ever repay. And it doesn't matter what the cost of my worship is. It doesn't matter what people think about how I worship. It doesn't matter what people think about the voice that I have or the song that I sing or how much that I give or how little I give. The only thing that matters is that I give my best to God. And that's what she was doing. Can I ask you something? Are you giving your best or are you giving God a cheap knockoff of what He deserves? See, I had a lot of amens until I said that. And listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all are here on Sunday morning. Y'all have gotten here and many of you got here early for prayer. But I want us to understand how important it is that we understand the cost of our worship. I believe Mary was not offering her worship to Jesus because of anything that He had really done, though, but because she realized who He really was. The Savior they'd been waiting for. And the Savior deserved the best she had to offer, no matter what, no matter the cost. Are you offering God your best? Shallow acts and half-hearted measures of sacrifice are not on God's agenda for His disciples. He calls us to take up our cross daily and follow Him. That means whether it's convenient or not, no matter what the cost, it goes to Him. Mark 12 says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." We have to get past the smell of the cheap spiritual cologne and find what God really desires from us. Cheap spiritual cologne is showing up when it's convenient. Cheap spiritual cologne is singing a song when it strikes us right and when it's a song we like. Cheap spiritual cologne is waiting for the pastor to preach on something that's not wrong with me before I give God praise. Am I making sense today? If I'm stepping on your toes, I'm not sorry. Listen. Romans 12, 1. "And so, dear brothers and sisters," Romans 12, 1. "I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." He doesn't say sing Him a song. He doesn't say play Him a dirge. He doesn't say make sure that you do the right things and say the right things. He says offer Him you. Give Him your best. I want to challenge you to give Him your best. Give Him something that He would look at and He could breathe in. And He would go, "Now that is a sweet scent of worship." We worship God by giving Him our best. But we also worship Him by giving humbly. Not in a haughty way, not in a look what I can do, but we give to Him humbly. Mary gave to Him very humbly. She placed herself in a position of humbleness. The culture of the day, see, we sit at a table and we sit down in the chair and we've got the table in front of us. But in those days, the table was much lower. They would sit on the ground and their feet would recline behind them as they sat at the table and ate. And they would all share with a community meal and the family style meal. The kind of meal where when we were younger, somebody would reach over to our plate and we'd stab them in the hand. They were like, "Oh no, go ahead." But the position of the men at the table was with their feet stretching behind them. The women were there to serve the food and to take care of the guests and to listen to the conversation and be a part of it that way. John 12:3, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. Now what is so crazy is that this is not the first time we've seen her in this position at his feet. Now, somebody needs to hear this today. Mary had a habit of being found at the feet of Jesus. She had a habit of humbling herself at the feet of Jesus. She had a habit of falling before him and spending time there. In every instance where Mary is mentioned, she is found humbling herself before the teacher. I talked about it earlier. Luke 10:39, her sister, talking about Martha, it's talking about her sister Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. John 11:32 says, when Mary arrived, she saw Jesus. She fell at his, what? Feet. And said, Lord, if you had only been here, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. She put herself in a position at his feet every chance she got. Even in our text today, she finds a way to his feet to anoint them and to pour oil and pour perfume over them. Those who wish to worship make a habit of being found at the feet of Jesus. Those that wish to meet him face to face put themselves at his feet. They put themselves in a place of humbleness. Even when Ruth was looking to be redeemed, back in the book named for her, as she went and went to Boaz, if I remember right, it was Boaz. As she went to Boaz, what she did was she did not go and lay next to him in the tent. She did not do any of that. You know what she did? The Bible says that she went and laid at his feet and uncovered his feet. That was her way of requesting, will you redeem me? Will you take me back? Will you give me worth again? Will you give me love again? Will you remind me what it's like to be loved again? We need to get at Jesus' feet and uncover his feet again. And say, Jesus, I'm not worthy of your love. I'm not worthy of what you've done for me. But I put myself in this position, in a place of worship, in a place that I don't even deserve to be. Will you please restore me again? Jesus is not looking for a song. That's something that naturally comes from our heart. But Jesus is looking for someone that will humble themselves and give them his best. Those that want to worship aren't concerned with their place at the table or their status in the crowd. Mary didn't care what those men thought. Mary didn't care what they said about her. Those that want to worship aren't worried about what they look like at the altar, or if they got the Holy Ghost dance moves aright or not. Whether it's a moment where they lay on their face before God and weep and cry and moan, or if it's a moment where they stand up and scream and shout and jump, they don't care what they look like anymore. Someone who wants to give God the worship he deserves, someone who wants their worship to have a scent that is pleasing to the Father, doesn't care about any of that. They respond to his love with worship. They respond to his grace with praise. They respond to the criticism of others in the same way that David did to his wife, Michal, when she criticized him him for dancing in a linen ephod as they brought in the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. He looked at her and said, I will do things even more undignified than this. I will dance before my God, and I will make myself be a fool for him. That's what God is looking for, is someone who's not afraid. Let me stop yelling at you. Someone who's not afraid to get loud. We're a Pentecostal church, right? If you ain't from a Pentecostal church, you might as well give it up. They've seen your car in the parking lot. You might as well join us. Okay? They all think we're crazy anyway. And if they think we're crazy, why don't we just go ahead and be crazy for Jesus? Those who want to worship respond the way Mary did, by taking their hair down and washing the feet of the one that she loved. She responded to a lesson that hadn't even been taught yet. DJ, go ahead, come on. She responded to a lesson that had not even been taught. I want you to think about it for a moment. Mary washed Jesus' feet. In just a few days, Jesus will enter into the upper room with, or into a room with his disciples. And when they failed to prepare properly and to have someone there to wash the feet of the disciples as they come in, he taught them a lesson. He taught them a lesson on humbleness, a lesson on servanthood. Mary was responding to a lesson that had not been taught, because of the worship in her heart. And no offense to any men in this room, never once do we see a man wash Jesus' feet. Don't tell me a woman can't have a heart after God, and we can't learn. I learned more from this woman of God in this story than I have from a lot of people, because she taught me the lesson that I needed to learn about being humble. Church, can I ask you, how are you responding to him today? She responded with her best. She responded with her heart. She responded with humbleness. How are you responding to the conviction of sin in your life? What will you do as he calls your name and calls you up to worship him in spirit and truth? What is your response? Will you stiffen your neck and straighten your back and hide from the call of the master and sit at the table? Or will you find a place on the floor next to his feet? Will you fall down before him and say, Jesus, I don't know what you want to do, but do it in me. The scent of our worship is meant to please the Father. That's what we're meant to do. John 12:3 again says, this is my favorite part of the entire message, the entire passage. John chapter 12, verse 3, the end of that, it says, the house was filled with the fragrance. Now, right now, everybody's going, well, I know where you're going with this, Pastor Aaron. You're going to talk about how the fragrance affected everybody in the room. The fragrance actually everyone enjoyed in the room. I know you've all heard the sermons where the pastor brings out that your worship will impact those around you. And it's very true. But as you give God your best, as you humble yourself at his feet, those around you will benefit from the scent of your worship. There are people next to you today that benefited from you worshiping God the way that you were called to worship Him today. And the thing is, all of our sense of worship, all of our fragrances, they come together in a pleasing smell, a pleasing fragrance to God. But my last question is not about affecting somebody else in the room. My last question is how it affects you. Because I want you to think about Mary. As she kneeled down, and she washed his, or she poured that entire, and that's the thing, she poured the entire bottle out. She didn't withhold anything. What are you withholding from God that He is calling for? She poured the entire thing out, and then she took her hair and wiped it with her hair. Now, I want you to think for just a moment what that did. That perfume covered those strands of hair on her head. What would normally be put on top of her head or underneath the cowl, it was exposed, and it was drenched in this worship. It was drenched in this act that she had done. And in those days, the people did not shower on a regular basis. It wasn't, I mean, I'm not talking about they were nasty, but they were limited resources. They didn't have a shower like we do over here. They didn't have a shower like we do at the house where you can turn on hot water anytime you want and get in. What they would do is they would take a bath or take a shower, wash their hair whenever they felt like it. It blew my mind when I got married and realized that ladies don't wash their hair every single day. Ladies, am I right? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not crazy. It blows my mind because I wash mine every day, whether it needs it or not. But Mary wiped with her hair, and as Jesus went throughout His days leading up to the crucifixion, as she would walk the streets following Him, or as she would be preparing a meal, as she would be taking care of children in the neighborhood, a breeze would catch that hair and blow that scent of worship back to her nostrils and remind her, you're created to worship. You're created to praise. Your worship goes with you wherever you go. It's meant to affect you as you walk throughout your day. See, although she was preparing Jesus for His burial, she was also preparing herself for her life with her worship. Stand with me today.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.